And joining us on the G&M Family Market phone line, Ted Berg of USA Today. Ted, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Are you okay? Because your paper, in the midst of a huge scandal, people aren't following it. Your crossword puzzle editor let go for plagiarism. Is everything all right there?
Yeah, I'm getting by. I think that'll probably have a pretty big impact on the Major League clubhouses where I see it done pretty frequently, but I'm getting by.
I'm good. Well, glad to hear that. Let's talk about some of the things that have happened this week in Major League Baseball. The Strasburg deal, good move for Washington?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's obviously a frontline pitcher, and it seems like a pretty team-friendly deal when you compare it to, you know, the open market type contracts we've seen with David Price and with Max Scherzer. I think it implies that, you know, this window for contention is probably a bit bigger than we might have thought before. And, you know, Strasburg was going to be by far the best free agent pitcher on the market this offseason, so it sort of gives him a leg up for next offseason transactions.
Other big news, the rumors swirling around about Mike Trout. Now, the Angels are struggling, lots of injuries, but would they really seriously consider dealing one of the best young talents in the game?
You know, I think they'd consider it because I think GM really considers pretty much everything. And if you're looking for the fastest way for the Angels to put together a better farm system and a better crop of young talent, yeah, you know, they could think about trading Trout for some sort of package. But I think the problem, and I think the reason no deal like that will get done, is that very, very few teams have the type of young talent it would take to get a Mike Trout, especially contending teams. And I think if you're a contending team with those, you know, four or five near big league ready talented players that you're going to need, you'd probably rather stick with those guys and try to contend with them.
Tim Lincecum's name popped up into the news last week as he was getting set to work out for a few major league clubs. Eventually, he will resurface on some major league roster. Do you have any idea where that might be?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back with the Giants. They've said that, you know, they're open to having him in not necessarily a starting role. He wants to start. But I think, you know, everyone could sort of look at that situation with both Matt Cain and Jake Peavy struggling a lot and see that, you know, those are veteran guys that are going to get pretty long leashes from Bruce Bochy. But at some point, that's a team that needs to contend. And if those guys aren't doing it, you know, by next month, by the All-Star break, and they will have to make a change. So maybe there's a fit for Lincecum there to sort of join as a bullpen guy, a long reliever, spot starter, and move into the rotation when he gets lengthened out a little bit. There are a lot of teams, obviously, that could use a starting pitcher. I think it sounds like he would prefer to stay on the West Coast. Seattle could be in play. They've got a pretty nice rotation, but some uncertainty there. So that's definitely one to watch.
We're talking with Ted Berg of USA Today. In the American League, Seattle riding high, White Sox and the Red Sox are battling for division titles. Of those three teams, all perhaps a little unexpected starts, which one do you think's got the staying power to really be there at the end?
Well, I think the Red Sox do, but I think their start, for as shaky as their starting pitching has been, I think everyone sort of knew they would hit, and there wasn't, between, outside of them and the Toronto Blue Jays, not really an obvious favorite, I thought, in that division. The White Sox are the big surprise to me, but I also think the White Sox are probably the team best fit to keep doing this. They've got a great starting rotation. Carlos Rodon hasn't really given them much yet, but Nat Latos, who will probably fall off a bit, has certainly made up for that, and Sale and Quintana are great in the front of that rotation. Plus, they've got, you know, a bunch of pretty good hitters who haven't really contributed yet. They've got a ton from Adam Eaton, but not really much from Jose Abreu, who I think is their best bat. So I could see that club, even as they even out a little bit, staying atop that division.
Ted, where do you sit on Bryce Harper? He finds himself again in the news because of his interaction with an umpire, but in a lot of cases, I really enjoy that fiery kind of player. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And you know, he doesn't look great, very obviously cursing out an umpire after a walk-off homer. I think what's easy to lose sight of, if you just see the clip, if you just see him run out and, you know, obviously curse out the umpire, there's really no doubt about the words he used. I think what's lost is that he had been ejected from that game in sort of strange circumstances, really just moments before that. It was two pitches before Clint Robinson hit the walk-off. I think he's an emotional guy, and I think that was an emotional spot. He looked genuinely shocked when he had been thrown out. He was kind of just picked out of a group of guys screaming from the bench and tossed. So I think he had the right to be angry. And like you said, you know, I think I like that fire, and I want him to be angry. I want Bryce Harper playing in games and being in big spots and being upset if he's taken out of them.
Well, the Cubs aren't likely to play 800 ball all season long, but are they head and shoulders above everybody else in the National League?
Yeah, I think so. And I hate saying that because baseball is so random, and we've seen so many teams, you know, get off to great starts and sort of slump or fall apart. But the Cubs, to me, were the best team in baseball coming into the season. I think there's a case that could be made that they have both the game's best pitching staff and best offense. And typically that's a pretty good recipe for success.
Has there been a better baseball moment this season than Bartolo Colon's first home run?
Has there been a better baseball moment in the 150 years baseball has been played? I'm not sure. It's fun. I wrote about it just because I find it sort of fascinating. I think everybody tends to think, well, you know, this guy's sort of a joke when he gets to the plate, and that, you know, he looks like any of us might trying to hit major league pitching. But he's got an .092 batting average, which looks terrible, but that still means you're getting a hit maybe once every 10 times up. He hit a home run. That's hard to do. I think we sort of sleep on Bartolo Colon as a legitimate pro athlete sometimes.
I saw this post the other day on the Huffington Post, and it was kind of a mystery, and I said, I know who can get us to the bottom of this story. Whatever happened to the Taco Bell Enchirito, Ted?
I believe that there are many places that will still make you a Taco Bell Enchirito, and I think it's regional, but I don't know why it has not been a full-time menu item. I think you start to see Taco Bell, you know, look to the internet and look to fans for suggestions, and so if and when the Enchirito movement gets as loud as, say, that for the Beefy Crunch Burrito, which they just brought back, you'll see it back on menus. They're a very, very vigilant company when it comes to internet movement.
Filling me with confidence. I like that kind of good news. Ted, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for catching up with us, and we'll do it again soon.
No problem, Rich. Thanks for having me.